Church, we're studying the book of Mark. It's awesome. It's action-packed. It's filled with the miracles and the message of Christ. I invite you in your own study to follow along and see how Christ is at work. Our text for today comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible or in your bulletin. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. He said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take up your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we open up our hearts and our minds to the power and authority of your word. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our hope, our rock, our love, and our Redeemer. Amen. I make no apologies for being a movie person. I love movies, action. I love stories. And I love the story of a good rescue mission. It's a story that involves the victim. The victim is usually like minding their business. They're going to the grocery store. A van pulls up. They throw them in. They're like, "What's going on?" They're blindfolded and their wrists are bound. It's all kinds of craziness. And they're sitting there hoping, wishing, praying that someone would flee, would release them from this bondage or release them from this captivity. The closest thing I have to these rescue missions are my love for old school Indiana Jones. Yes, I'm dating myself for the young people in the crowd. You know, and maybe for some of the younger ones, you know, like the Mission Impossible. We got Tom Cruise, and he's got the little strings, and he's laying right above the ground, and he's getting ready to set off stuff. But he's got a mission. He's got things to do. And I love with a rescue scene or a scene with a mission where things seem hopeless until the music starts. For Indiana Jones, it was dun 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 dun, and you're like, "Oh man, they can't mess up. Like, this has to work because the music has been going on, and they only have a certain amount of bars to get the, you know, get the mission accomplished. So clearly, everything is going to be okay. If Tom Cruise is sitting down there and doom, 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 we're good to go because he's only got about four more bars to get that mission accomplished." I love it when the music starts because it reminds me that no matter how difficult or bleak the rescue mission appears, within an instant, whoever is in bondage or whatever the trouble is, it will be stopped. And the people who are in captivity will be free. And the people who are in danger will be safe. In our text today, we find a story of a mission that appeared to be almost impossible. Jesus is teaching in a home. His popularity is increasing. People are crowding around. They want to hear this truth. They want to hear this teaching. This service, this moment for Jesus is not a healing service. There weren't any pamphlets spread around like, hey, come talk to Jesus and all your sins will be forgiven and all your ailments will be cured. But you see, news was traveling about Jesus and people were starting to figure out that Jesus could take care of the impossible. And Jesus would do it for anyone, no matter who they were, no matter their troubles. And so the scriptures in this passage in Mark, we hear about a mission of four men. It was their mission to bring a paralyzed man to Jesus for healing. This is a mission that almost seems impossible because this is something the man could not have done for himself. There was a dependence that he had on the people around him if he wanted to go from place to place. Perhaps he could articulate a desire, but he was dependent on others to actually carry out a mission or follow through with something that they promised for him. I imagine that these four men, perhaps they were connected to this man. The text, we always imagine that these men are friends, but in all the Gospels, it never says that there's this extended relationship. It just says they're four men. So perhaps four men were like, yo, you heard about that Jesus? Yeah, man, let me see what he's getting ready to teach. Perhaps they walk along and they see this paralyzed man. Perhaps they have compassion for him. Or perhaps it was a plan. Maybe he was a guy in their town and they said, you know what? I bet you if we get him close to Jesus, if we can just get him in the front door and maybe lay him by the side, maybe Jesus can do something for him. And as they start setting out on this mission, as they get the strength and the decisiveness to go ahead and try and get this man close to Jesus, they get some obstacles in the way. They see that the room is crowded worse than Black Friday at Toys R Us, and they're trying to get to the door, and there are people there for days. And they're looking down and saying, but we're on a mission. And this guy right here has to get to Jesus, and the only way he's going to get there is if someone takes him, because he is dependent upon the community around him to help make a difference in his life in this moment. And so the men look, and they try and ease their way in, and they can't get through. It's a big bonus sister by the door, and she's not letting them in because she's got her spot, and she's like, I'm not moving. I'm going to hear what Jesus has to say today. But they were on a mission, and when you're on a mission, you have to stay focused, and you have to figure out how to accomplish the mission by any means necessary. And so these men look at this paralytic man, and they look at each other and they say, what are the odds of Jesus being here with us now? This is our moment, and this is our opportunity, and this is what we have to do. And they look up at the roof, and they look down at the man, and they look at each other, and they look back up at the roof, and they look down at the man, and they look at each other, and they realize that they don't have any other option but to be creative, to climb up on those shorter, flat roofs like they used to make back in the time of Jesus. And they realize that they're strong enough to start, you know, digging up through the top. And they start to make a mess of things, and they've got to dig a hole, but not any size hole, a hole large enough to get a mat through. And once they start pulling off, they start getting into it. Dun, 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 boom, boom, dun, 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 or whatever that was in like some Hebrew song or something. You know, they're pulling it back, and they realize that they're lowering him down, and they get him close to Jesus. And in that moment, the text tells us that Jesus is fascinated, and I would say almost tickled, by their faith. And he sees the faith of the men who are going against all odds to get this man to Jesus. And Jesus does what the men had hoped for. Jesus does what the paralytic has probably dreamed of as long as he had been in bondage. And Jesus addresses his priority, his first need. He says, sons, your sins are forgiven, young man. You are free. But so that the naysayers and the haters and the frenemies on all around Jesus, just so that they would understand who he really was, he said, young man, this bondage is over. You are not locked into this anymore. Get up off of your mat and walk. You are free and you are clear. This mission that seemed impossible has now been made possible by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Son of Man is here to set you free. And son, you can jump up and run and walk. So this mission that seemed impossible was possible because of the determination of the four men, the willingness of the paralytic to go, and the compassion of the Savior to make a difference. You see, friends, when we look at this text, when we look at this scene, we realize that we are looking at the elements of a rescue. And a rescue isn't something that can be taken lightly. The first thing that happens in a rescue, the elements of the rescue, is that first you've got to recognize and identify the one that is in bondage. Whether it was a long-term relationship or someone they had just met on the road, those four men could easily see that the man that was laying on that mat was in bondage. He was held captive by his situation. The second element of a rescue is to organize a rescue team. Any organizational leadership book will tell you that in order to have a productive team, you need three or four different types of personalities. You need the glass half empty kind of person. That's like the encourager. You need the glass half full type of person. I'm not looking at nobody or pointing to nothing like that. But you need that person who can troubleshoot and see what the problems are. You need someone who is just a doer. And then you need someone who is a planner. You need four elements on any rescue team to make it work. The other elements of a rescue is that you need to work effectively and efficiently. You have to have a plan A, and then there's a plan B, and C, and D, and E, and however you have to go. But you need to learn to systematize and figure out how this mission will take place. And the fourth element of a rescue is to remain committed to the mission. No matter what, there wasn't anything that was going to stand in the way of these four men because they saw someone in need. They realized that it was their calling and commitment to help make a difference. And they knew that the only way to make a difference was to get this man to Jesus. Friends, I tell you this morning, that we are surrounded by people who are in need of a rescue. We are surrounded by people who are in need of a rescue team. Hear me when I say I get texts and phone calls and conversations constantly about people who are paralyzed spiritually, about people who are paralyzed emotionally, about people who feel paralyzed in their situation and they don't know what to do, and they are so stuck that they can't get the help that they need a rescue team who's going to get around them and surround them and pray for them and do anything that they need to do to get them the care that they need. When I was serving at another church, in my 20s, there was a ministry that came to visit our church, International Justice Mission, and this is a ministry that is focused on rescue. They dedicate their lives to rescuing young women and children and boys and men who are caught up in today's slave trade. You see, today's slave trade is what we call this human trafficking, where people will capture folk against their will, no matter how old they are. They will capture them and hold them in bondage. And then they are disposable items to the desires and evil lusts of this world. And they have no say. They have no control. They are literally enslaved. And this man came to our church and he began to talk about this ministry of rescue. He talked about one mission that they had in India, and they had gotten word that there was a brothel nearby and that there was going to be a time where there wouldn't be too many folks around and they would be able to go in and rescue some kids as young as 8 and 9, kids the same age as the kids that sit on our pew during the time with the children. And they said, if we leave right now, sir, we can get over to this brothel and we can rescue little girls and little boys so that they are not enslaved. And he said it was really late at night and they jumped in the car and they got in. And he said, you could not get in a situation any more dangerous than they were in. Because when you try to take somebody out of captivity, the one who's holding them captive doesn't get to benefit anymore. So he says he got in there and there was this little girl who was about 9 years old. And she knew enough to go with them. And they took her into this van and they took her from captivity that was killing her to being captured by love and grace and assurance and peace. And he began to feed that little girl and clothe her and find a way to get her out of that system of modern day slavery. And he said, when people ask him, why do you guys do what you do as a Christian organization? It's risky. He said, I can't present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a child who is caught up in human trafficking. But when she is set free from the bondage of that happens in her day-to-day life, when I can put a blanket around her arms and give her a meal, then I can tell her about a one named Jesus who can set her free from anything else, set her free from the shame, set her free from the labels, set her free from her status in a caste system in India. People of God, we are surrounded by people who are captive to sin, captive to pain, paralyzed by their situation, paralyzed spiritually, paralyzed emotionally. And the question on deck this morning is, will you become part of a rescue team? Will you look at somebody who is paralyzed in their situation and in pain and simply say, I'll pray for you? Or will you gather together two or three or four other people with gifts and hold hands and say, we are not going to let you go down like this. We are going to hold on to you. We are going to pray for you. We are going to get you the care that you need. When I worked in hospice, you had to use what they called a plan of care. As soon as you met a person in their situation, you had to look at the family and the dynamics, and you had to write out what you would do to meet all of their needs. If Christians would just band together when we see one another in bondage, when we see one another in pain, and say, friends, it's time for a rescue. If that could just be in our spirits, if that can just be in our heart, no situation would seem insurmountable. No situation would seem too bad, because we know that if we just band together, get that plan of care that people need, connected with their get them a social worker, get them a doctor, get them a psychiatrist, get them all the things that they need. But the difference about our rescue team is this. We know that with all the help people get, if it doesn't include Jesus at the core, they're not going to get the healing that they need. And so when people like you and me band together and say, we are going in for a rescue, we get all the plan of care, we get people what they need, but then the last thing that we do, and this is the most important, is that we lay them at the foot of the cross. And we say, whatever you're handling, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, Jesus can do it, and he can set you free, and you can get up off of whatever mat is trying to hold you, and you can walk and give praise and glory to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.